You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball. Join Andy and Patrick weekly as they bring you up to date on all things Ute.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ute Talk. It is Monday, September 19th, and this is episode 6. My name is Andy, and I hope you all are doing well. Thank you for joining us this lovely evening. I am joined by my co-host and writer for Torn by Sports Network, Patrick. How are we doing, Patrick?
Doing fantastic. Just want to thank everyone for tuning in and excited to start Pac-12 play this week.
Yes, Pac-12 play is right around the corner. So thank you, everybody, for your continued support. If this is your first time listening to us, thanks for tuning in. Ute Talk Podcast is part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks, and we produce this every week for your enjoyment. So please add us to your favorite RSS feed and on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast. So, our Ute news of the week. Let's get right into it. Joe Williams and the medical retiring of Joe. And I know you put an article out as well, Patrick. Why don't we talk about that?
Yeah, I just didn't do a shameless plug of my article on tornbysports.com. Joe Williams retiring, a little surprising.
A little too early.
Yeah, but, you know, he didn't look the same this season. He didn't look anything like he did last season.
No.
You could tell, you know, something was bothering him, something was on his mind. And, you know, I guess, you know, it looks like he just wasn't ready to play this season, and yep. He was ready to move on with his life and leave football behind. So yeah. Got a feel for him. Probably a tough decision to leave the team and leave his teammates and leave the game he loves. But, you know, he gave his all to the Utes while he was here. So
he did. I'm
grateful that he was a Ute, and wish him the best as he moves forward.
Yeah. You know, just looking at him, like you said, every time he got hit, it just seemed like he just didn't want to do it anymore, you know, and that's not really something you want out of your star running back, you know. So I mean, it's unfortunate to see him go, but you know, he's, you know, medically retiring. That's the reason he's given everybody, at least, and you got to respect him for that. Don't tear him down. You know, he's, you know, engaged to be married soon, and he's thinking about his future life. You know, he wants to be healthy for that future, you know, and he has a degree in, or he's graduating in December, and a degree in sociology. So, you know, I think he's going to be pretty well set, and he's got a lot of connections, obviously, at the U. So best of luck for Joe. We miss him dearly. But, you know, next man up, you know, as Whittingham would say.
Yep, exactly. So.
Well, next is Kylie Fitz. Also, he is injured, and Whittingham has come out and said that he is out for the rest of the year, which is unfortunate. And today actually tweeted out that Kylie Fitz looks to be in line to get a medical hardship. I saw that tweet go out, and what are your thoughts on that, Patrick?
Yeah, that was a tough blow. I mean, everyone expected Kylie Fitz to have a huge season this mm-hmm. year. And to go out in the second game was, you know, that's unfortunate. You got to feel for the young man. Hopefully he does get a comeback next year, so mm-hmm. he can be the anchor along that defensive line. But, yeah, he just a tough blow for him and for the Utes team. That defensive line is stacked, but still, you know, that does hurt. It does sting a little to lose someone who is that talented and who was poised to have a real breakout season this year. But
yeah,
hopefully he'll be back.
He's played, what, 1 year out of five that he's had available?
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that's just insane to me. I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, he had injuries, and then he had to sit out a year because of the transfer rules, and you know, now he's injured again this year. So we all hope he gets his medical hardship. Sounds like Whittingham is confident about that, and You know, so hopefully we all see him back next year and in the Utes attire and sacking opposing QBs. you know, like Patrick said, we got a ton of depth on that that defensive line and a lot of talented players. And so while it does hurt us, it doesn't break us. So very excited to see some of these other guys, young guys, come up and see what they can do. So let's go on here. Corey Butler Bird has been reinstated. What can you tell us about that, Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, all this news is, you know, it came out last week. We recorded Sunday last week, so this came out Monday. So we're just going over it right now. But everybody knows Corey Butler Bird's back if you watch the San Jose State game. Yep. I'm excited to have him back and see what he can do and see if he can be a spark in this offense. Hopeful that the Utes will be able to use him. He can be such a dynamic player for the Utes offense, such a playmaker, and I hope that they will utilize that with him. But excited to have him back and have him out there playing again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he definitely made an impact in his first game back. 5 receptions, 66 yards. So he's already making an impact, which is great. The other news is Domo Hatfield. You know, looks like all things are pointing towards him returning against USC. So we'll look out for that there. But he's listed as starter on the depth chart. You know, so what do we got there?
Yeah, just I've heard rumors that he should be back this week. So hopeful to see number 15 out there across from number 9. I think Schuster-Smith's number 9, right?
Yes.
So hopeful to see 15 out there opposite number 9 and see that battle go down again.
Yeah.
Because last season was exciting. And
it was.
Those guys went back and forth on social media and throughout the game. And I think I'm hopeful that Hatfield's going to be fresh and ready to take it to him this season.
Definitely. Well, final piece of news that we have is going to be the Utes are ranked 24. So Utes are now ranked in the, let's see, the AP poll, I believe it is. That we all follow and, you know, wish didn't come around until about week 6, but it's here anyways. I thought we should have been ranked a little bit higher to, you know, I mean, after, you know, Southern Utah, you know, you beat them, then you beat, you know, your in-state rival in BYU, and, you know, then you beat San Jose State. You know, 24 is not a bad spot, but I felt like after the BYU game, we should have probably been about number 24, 23, 24, and then with winning San Jose, moved up, you know, maybe 21 range. What's your take?
Yeah, I was surprised they even were ranked in the top 25. I didn't expect that. I maybe expected them to be like 27, 26 going into this game, but I mean, 24 after playing, SUU, San Jose State, and then having a tough game against BYU, I can see where, you know, what they're thinking. Maybe the Utes could be, you know, right around 24, 25.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was surprised they even cracked it, but I'm glad they did.
Oh, all right. Well, so rounding out kind of those last 5 spots, so you got Nebraska at 20, Texas at 21, San Diego State at 22, Ole Miss at 23, Utah 24, and then Oklahoma at 25. It's interesting to see an Ole Miss at 23 with a record of 1-2, and Oklahoma ranked 25, also 1-2. Kind of interesting to see a 3-0 team sandwiched in between there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, USC, they were ranked at one point. They were ranked 20th. We see them this Friday night. It's a 7 p.m. kickoff, Mountain Time. It's on FS1, and it is the blackout game. So USC is no longer ranked, but they still will provide a tough test for us. So we'll see how we move up there. So Let's get right into it. That's it for Ute News. So let's jump into our recap of the San Jose State University game. This game was last Saturday night. So just a couple nights ago, and some good takeaways, some things that are a little concerning that need to get fixed. But overall, the Utes did what they needed to do. Their first road game. Let's work out the kinks on the road. We've kind of worked them out at home. Now let's work them out on the road. Troy Williams, 20 of 28, 257 yards, one touchdown, one interception. The one interception, and we've seen this in every single one of his games, is a turnover in the red zone. We've got to stop that. You've got to imagine that it's going to get fixed, but we can't keep, waiting for it to be there. We need it now,
Yeah, that might just, he keeps making the same mistake, throwing it into coverage in the red
just
zone.
Throw it away, back of the end zone.
He's got to throw it away, or he's got to do something else with it. I don't know if it's maybe a habit he developed in, junior college or whatnot, but these athletes are quite a bit different.
Vastly different.
From junior college, so he's got to just, he's got to throw that away. They got to at least come away with, if they can't score a touchdown in the red zone, which they should be able to, they got to at least come away with 3 points.
Yeah.
There's no way they can afford to keep having turnovers in the red zone and not coming away with points when they're so close.
Yeah. Our rushing attack was definitely something of interest and was the three-headed monster, as we are seemingly calling it. Zach Moss, 12 carries, 95 yards, one touchdown. Armand Shine, 12 carries, 92 yards, and one touchdown. And then Troy McCormick, 7 carries, 61 yards, and one touchdown. So between the three running backs, you're looking at over 200 yards. That's just astounding to me. And it's great to see that, our three running backs are getting 50-plus yards on, 7 to 10 12 carries. So, that's just great to see the rushing attack. So,
yeah, I like the three-headed approach there. Keeps the guys fresh, brings them in when they do have energy. I thought Zach Moss looked really well for his first start. Whittingham says he's still not in shape, but he'll get there shortly. I'm excited to see what he can do against USC there. Troy McCormick still, has looked good every game. He's performed every game, runs hard, makes plays. So excited to see him again against Pac-12 teams. And then Armand Shine was a surprise when he got in there. He was a little tentative first, but once he got the jitters out, he started rolling and he looked awesome as well. So excited about those three. I think that they will definitely fill the void that Joe Williams left behind, and I'm excited to see all three against Pac-12 quality opponents.
Definitely. It just shows that our offensive line was able to open up some holes and give the running game some life, which seemingly we've needed. So the receiving core, let's kind of talk about that a little bit. Tim Patrick, 6 receptions, 121 yards, 1 touchdown. Corey Butler-Byrd, again, 5 receptions, 66 yards. We just had the 1 touchdown to Tim Patrick. But those two I expect to see at the top of the leaderboard every week. They definitely have the talent. Butler-Byrd being in that kind of slot area. And then you've got Tim Patrick on one of the outer ends, and most likely, according to the depth chart that was released this week, Raylon Singleton on opposite of Tim Patrick. So I would expect to see Corey Butler-Byrd and Tim Patrick, just because of the talent those guys have, the strength and the route running that they can provide, and the speed too. They've definitely kind of got the whole package. So it's great to see Patrick back and healthy this year. Butler-Byrd, obviously back, reinstated. It's great to see him back and involved. So, you know, I expect to see those guys near the top, you know, every game the rest of the year.
I mean, you know, if you look at the passing game from Saturday night, they spread the ball around to a bunch of different receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Patrick, you know, was the beneficiary of the seeing the most balls thrown his way.
You had eight different receivers.
Yeah, and then, you know, Butler Bird, they were trying to get him reacclimated to, you know, game speed, and I expect him to see a lot of balls thrown his way as well. But, I mean, Tim Patrick, what a great story. He's having a great season so far, and hopefully he'll continue to have a great season. And I definitely think he's one of the top receivers in the Pac-12. So excited to see him, and, you know, like we said earlier, excited to see Butler Bird as well.
Mm-hmm.
And see what he can do on the offense. I was, you know, thinking, you know, they definitely should have used him on offense a lot more last season, just because he's such a dynamic playmaker.
Yeah.
You know, I know they had Covey back there, but, you know, Butler Bird, he definitely needs to be on offense. He needs the ball in his hands, and I'm excited to see him once he gets going again and reacclimated to game, you know, speed and everything else.
Definitely. Just quick look here at Tim Patrick, Southern Utah, 5 receptions, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. BYU, 3 receptions, 59 yards, 1 touchdown. And then San Jose State, 6 receptions, 120 yards, 1 touchdown. He's got 4 touchdowns out of 3 games. His average there is probably about, 75-ish, 80 yards a game. I mean, he's playing really well right now, and I'm very excited to see how that continues going into, you know, Pac-12 play. And now it actually feels like we have talent at the receiver position. And it's, you know, that's nothing to take away from previous years, but it always seemed like, you know, we'd have one really good guy, but then, you know, the others would fade away, you know, or they were injured, you know, with, you know, unfortunate. And, you know, it just never seemed like we had multiple threats that, you know, the defense had to cover and respect, you know, and I'm excited to see it.
Yeah. And I mean, not only that, they now have a quarterback who can get them the ball.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think coaches realized, last season that, you know, they need a passing game in order to be successful in the Pac-12. They got to have a passing game. They have to have a balanced attack of pass and rush, because if they don't, you know, Devontae Booker's gone. He's not coming back. So
Nope. There's
no more riding the Booker train and the defense to victories. You got to have the passing game that complements the rush game. And they're definitely doing it this year. I mean, when's the last time we saw a Ute receiver with multiple 100-yard games and, you know, touchdowns
every
game. So
yeah, it feels like it's been years for that. So let's move right along here. We've covered, you know, the offensive side. Let's move over to the defense. And really, the defense looked pretty good, pretty darn good. I mean, 10 sacks, you know, you had 2 interceptions. You know, they really were giving San Jose fits on all fronts. You know, our secondary is playing phenomenal right now. Our defensive line is playing great. And I mean, our linebackers are really coming into their own.
Yeah. I mean, the defense kind of started off slow in that first couple quarters, but once San Jose State scored that touchdown, it like lit something up inside of them, and
mm-hmm. They
were relentless after that. They totally woke them up, and then, you know, Sack Lake City was reborn again.
it most definitely was. So Hunter Dimmick had 3 of those 10 sacks. Currently, Utah is ranked 2nd in the nation and leads the Pac-12 in total sacks. 15 total sacks, 5 per game. And it's the most this year, or excuse me, the 10 sacks against San Jose is the most in the nation this year so far out of 3 weeks. So, I mean, really, really good to see the defense and Scally dialing up the pressure. You know, it seemed like last year Pease was content on four guys, you know, rarely dialed, you know, five or six. It seems like this year, with how good our secondary is and, you know, Scally's able to bring more pressure and really cause havoc for, you know, the opposing quarterbacks and their running backs. I mean, we're getting all up in their faces. It's crazy. I mean, we only allowed 56 rush yards. You know, we had a 249 passing yards, but, you know, a majority of that was against the second unit. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I mean, I like Scally's defense. You can tell it's a lot more aggressive than last season, and that's just a product of having such a great defensive backfield. I mean, you have Marcus Williams back there. He's playing great. Reggie Porter, Brian Allen, Chase Hansen's back there. But, you know, he can be aggressive because he has those guys back there, and as long as those guys continue to play well, he's going to continue to be aggressive and continue to, you know, rush the passer. The linebackers have looked great. Tatioli is, I mean, he's looked awesome through three games. I'm excited to see him in Pac-12 play as well, see what he can do. I know he led the Utes in tackles against San Jose State with eight tackles. He also had a sack. He probably could add a lot more sacks, but he hits the hole so fast, and yep. Then, you know, it's kind of like he's going so fast and the quarterback makes one move and he can't stop in his tracks and mm-hmm. get him. But I'm excited to see him play, excited to see Barton play. And then, you know, Sac Lake City's back, 10 sacks. That was awesome. Yeah. It was great to see that again. And I know it was against San Jose State, but still exciting.
It is.
And,
you can't take that for granted, you know. Yeah. I mean, there's still somebody you're going against. You know, it's not like, you know, they hiked the ball with one person and the line disappeared. You know, our guys are having to fight through, you know, their offensive line and still get to the quarterback in some fashion. So
yeah, and I mean, San Jose State's line, those for that first quarter and a little bit in the second quarter, they were getting the best of the Utes D line.
They were
pushing them around. And then all of a sudden, after San Jose State scored that touchdown, the Utes defense finally, you know, it's like they woke a sleeping giant, and the Utes defense finally came to play. So
yeah,
they can't afford to have that against USC. They got to come to play all four quarters. So hopefully we see the defense dialed in for all four quarters.
Definitely. A couple big hits. Did you see the big hits? Let's see. Kenny Potter, starting quarterback, got leveled by
Chase Hansen.
It was Chase Hansen, that's yep. right. Yep. And then there was another one. I can't remember who it was, but
was it on the kickoff?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, was it Sharif Shah
yes.
Junior?
Yep.
Yeah, that was a great hit. I mean, he leveled that guy. Yeah. And you know, Kenny Potter got nailed by Chase Hansen, and I believe Pita T as well hit yep. him on that play, took him out of the game, yep. but
he did not return.
but yeah, some big hits. That hit by Shaw Jr. on the kickoff was that was he laid the wood to that guy.
Yes, he did. Well, that's really it for our breakdown of Utah versus San Jose. That puts Utah 3-0. San Jose State is now 1-2, and good luck to them the rest of the way in the Mountain West. But Utah is on to bigger and better things. We've got Pac-12 play right around the corner. Now, before we get into that, let's get into our UQs.
Now time for UQs, where we take your questions from Twitter and email, and we answer them weekly. Tweet us at UTalk Podcast or email utalk@gmail.com.
So our first question that we had posted today, do you want to see the three-headed monster at running back moving forward, or just keep it at the top two? and we had a lot of different responses on this one. You've got Ute Justin Porter, or at Ute Justin Porter, saying he loves the three-headed monster. You've got at Portland Ute, all three, as long as it works, keep them fresh all season. And you got at Skier Elmo, my bad. Sorry, at Skier Elmo. Use all three and roll with the hot hand game by game. You know, I like it all. I think I agree with all these comments or these responses. I mean, the three-headed monster is great. You know, like Portland Ute said, keeps them fresh all season long. You know, everybody comes in, is energized, ready to take a hit, able to, you know, give a different aspect to the offense. And then you got Skier Elmo, you know, the hot hand game by game. You know, I mean, really that, in a sense, that's how it should be, you know, because some running backs will, you know, can hit the holes differently and see different things on the field develop. And, you know, you want to ride that guy as much as you can, you know, and ride that horse, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I like the three of them, you know, getting the carries. Obviously, you're going to ride the hot hand, but I do like seeing the three-headed monster. I mean, Moss and Shine are fairly similar backs. I think Moss is a little bit more physical, but McCormick's definitely different than both. McCormick's physical, but he's a different kind of back. He's a more dynamic back, if you would say. He could, you know, give you those screens, give you those, you know, reverses, or, you know, he could do different things than the other two can. But I agree. I want to see all three if and continue, you know, keeping them fresh and keeping them going all game long, so that, you know, they can be productive.
Definitely. This one, we had a lot of responses to as well. Utes versus USC. Give us your predictions and game ball. Beach Dan, 17-32. Utah, 38. USC, 17, with the game ball going to Moss. That was shortly responded to by at Ute Justin Porter. I would love to see our offense score that many points. Seems like a stretch right now, though. You know, I would love to see 38 points put up. I think I have to agree with Justin here. I don't know if we'll see it. You know, I'm probably more in the realm of maybe 28 points, but we'll see on Friday. Cara Leone, 54, Utah, 21, USC, 17, the game ball going to the whole defense. You know, that's definitely impossible. At Rick Caps, 3, Utah, 31, SC, 17, with Lowell Lutulele getting the game ball. At Ute Optimus, 31-17, Troy Williams puts it all together, throws two touchdowns, runs for one. T-Walk 7777, Utah 24, USC 14, with the game ball going to Moss. And Hefe Mac, I think Utah ekes out a win, 31-24, defensive TD, two turnovers, game ball goes to Moss, 131 yards, three touchdowns. So what do you think of our listeners' responses here to you, our questions?
Yeah, I don't know if the Utes are going to score 30. I'm thinking, you know, maybe in the low 20s, 23, 24 points. I think that the defense is good enough to hold USC's offense to maybe like 17 points. I think it's going to be a fairly close game. For the game ball, I'm going to go with the defense there for the game ball. I'm interested to see what Moss can do against USC's defense. I'm interested to see what all the running backs can do, as well as Troy Williams and the receivers. So it's going to be interesting to see going against a talented defense like USC's, because, you know, even though they're having a down year, it's still USC. They've still got a lot of talent on their team. They're still a great team.
Just don't fire your coach.
Yeah.
So far, it's Monday. We still got, you know, four more days till, or three more days till Friday. Just don't fire your coach yet, USC.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I do think the Utes are going to squeak out a victory, but I'm going to give the game ball to the defense there holding USC's offense down.
Holding UFC down. Yeah, got
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
We'll lay the smack down. Yeah, I mean, like I said just a moment ago, I think we are probably more in the realm of 28 points. You know, I would like to see 38, but I don't think we get that high. I'm thinking more, you know, 28-20, 28-17 maybe would be ideal. You know, game ball. I think I'm going to go with the at Ute Optimus, where he says Troy William puts it all together. You know, I think Troy is bound to have a breakout game here. He's had some really, really solid games. You know, these first three games have been solid. He's got a few mistakes to clean up here and there, but I think that he's able to do it. And sooner rather than later, I think he gets it figured out. So I'm with you, Optimistic Ute. I'm with you. We did have one question from one of our listeners come in, and don't forget, everybody, you can tweet us your questions. We are more than happy to find out answers for them, answering them on the show. Just tweet at Ute Talk Podcast, ask your question, and then do hashtag UteQs. That's UteQs. So give us your questions. We're happy to answer those. Patrick and I will do the dirty work and try and find those answers for you. So thank you for participating in UQs. So at RickCaps3, what do we need to focus on with our offense? Going to be tough in Pac-12 play without an offense that can't execute in the red zone. And, you know, I've got to agree with him there. You know, we've seen a lot of mistakes these first three games, and I think we do get them corrected. You know, it seems like every time we got the ball moving against BYU, we'd fumble the ball, you know, near or close to being into the red zone. You know, and then Troy turned the ball over in the red zone, you know, instead of throwing it away or running out of bounds or, you know, whatever, he throws it into coverage. So I wouldn't say that we don't have an O that can execute. I think we do have an offense that can execute. It's just being more consistent with executing. And I think we get it figured out soon. Coach Witt, you know, I mean, I was around the program for a little bit, and he's gonna get it figured out sooner or later, or somebody's gonna lose their job. So
yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the San Jose State game, it really showed just how balanced this offense could be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had over 250 passing yards. You had almost 250 rushing yards. So almost 500 yards of total offense.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, a very balanced offense that could, you know, obviously they need to correct, you know, the mental mistakes that they're making, penalties,
mm-hmm.
Turning the ball over. Those are things that they need to correct in order to be successful in the Pac-12, but you know, I think they're on their way. They're showing, you know, as opposed to last season, they're a lot more balanced this season. I mean, last season, you know, you'd see like the rushing yards would be way more than the passing yards. So they're a lot more balanced. And I think as the season goes on, they're just gonna continue to improve and continue to get better. And as long as they can fix the mental mistakes of, you know, penalties and
turning the ball over,
especially in the red zone.
Yep.
I think they're gonna be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last year, Travis Wilson, you know, averaged about 170 passing yards. You know, this year we're up over 250. So I mean, about 80 yard difference, which is huge. You know, and we've probably lost that 80 yards in the rushing attack. You know, compared to last year, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's, you know, like you said, a lot more balanced, which I think we need.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you can get Troy Williams to average between 250 to 300 passing yards a game, and then get these running backs, you know, 200 plus yards, I mean, that's a great offense.
And it is.
If that doesn't get the job done, then You know, it's because they're making those mistakes. They're turning the ball over. They're getting stupid penalties. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely a lot more balanced than it has been in years past.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you for that question. I appreciate it. And again, if you guys have any questions, let us know. Tweet at Ute Talk Podcast and use hashtag UteQs. So, USC, the Trojans of Southern California. I mean, we've had an interesting last couple of games with them. 2011, we lost in overtime, or no, going to be overtime to tie it. We lost on a field goal. The following year, we also lost at home. 2013, we lost. 2013. Let's see here. Apologize, guys. 2013, we lost. 2014, we won. That was the game. We had the 8 seconds left on the clock. Travis Wilson to Kalen Clay. Yep. We won 24-21. Last year, as we all know, they fired Sarkisian the week before, so that automatically meant Utah was losing. So, you know, we got beat pretty handedly down in Southern California, 42-24. Cody Kessler had a great game, 21 of 28, 264. Juju Smith-Schuster, 8 receptions, 143 yards. And their defense, 3 interceptions, or actually 4 interceptions, 3 of them going to Cameron Smith.
Yep, Cameron Smith.
He straight up handled us. We had a terrible second quarter. We put up 3 points. USC put up 21 on, I think, 3 straight back-to-back interceptions. So that was a little rough. This year we get them at home again. It's a Friday night kickoff, 7 p.m. Fox Sports 1. It's the blackout game. Ute fans love the blackout games. Everybody get your blackout gear ready to go Friday night. I believe it's supposed to be a little rainy, so bring a black poncho, a black jacket, a black beanie, your black gloves, whatever you got. Let's black out the stadium there. Rice-Eccles. So, give us some insight. What are we going to see against USC? I mean, Coach Witt talked about it, in the press conference today. USC is probably one of the best 1-2 teams. They got demolished against Alabama. They destroyed Utah State, and then they got beat by Stanford last week.
Yeah, I mean their opening schedule, obviously they a lot tougher than the Utes. Alabama, tough game for them. Utah State, kind of a cupcake game for them there, and then Stanford. So 2 out of 3. I mean, I think a lot of people expected them to probably be 1-3 coming in, 1-2 coming into this Utah game. I know I didn't expect them to beat Alabama. I didn't expect them to beat Stanford. I did expect them to beat Utah State. So I'm not surprised that they're 1-2. But they do come in. They're going to be hungry for a victory. These games with Utah are always close. That 2014 game, that was at Rice-Eccles. That was an exciting game. I mean, that was the Hercules game with Travis Wilson when he – made that great run to set up that final touchdown, I believe. So it's going to be a good game. I know a lot of people are down on USC this season, but it's still USC. They're still top notch athletes.
Yep.
They're going to bring their A game against the Utes, and it's going to be an exciting game. And fans need to be ready for it. Fans need to be there and be rowdy for the Utes.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, USC, they have the talent every single year. Everybody wants to play for USC. It's very hard to compete against. Now, obviously, last year, you know, going down there was tough. And, you know, this year, I think being back at home, being in the friendly confines of, you know, the Rice Cycle Stadium and having the Mus and the north end zone on our side, I really think that, you know, we get to USC. Our defense is really good. Tweeted out just barely about an hour ago, USC is making a change at quarterback. Sam Darnold is making his first start versus USC.
Oh, so wow. I didn't know that.
That was just tweeted out. So it'll be interesting to see. They've been going with Max Brown the last three games. Darnold played a little bit of the last one. Coaching QB change. So we'll see that. Will be interesting to see how he does against the defense in his first start.
Yeah, so, you know, Ute's defense needs to get hyped up to ruin his starting debut.
Yes, ruin his starting debut. Bring the pressure, Scally. Bring the pressure. You look at their depth chart. You've got Juju Smith-Schuster. You've got Steven Mitchell and Darius Rogers as your receivers. Their O-line is a pretty experienced offensive line. You've got Chad Wheeler, Sr., Damian Mama, Jr., Nico Fala, Jr. I don't even know if I want to try the right guard. Viane, we'll just go with his first name, Jr., Zach Banner, Sr. Their offensive line is pretty experienced. You know, I mean, they've got...
They lost. Then their starting center get hurt and out for the season. Or
oh, is that true? I must have missed that.
I don't know. I believe he did. I'm not sure though. I'm not positive of his name. But
did it just happen just a couple days ago?
I think it happened earlier in the season. But I could be wrong too. Maybe it's someone else. But
maybe.
But yeah, I mean, Sam Darnold starting at QB. They got a couple talented running backs in Ronald Jones and Justin Davis. And then, you know, obviously the receivers are really talented. I know Schuster Smith's kind of had a quiet start to the season, so he'll be looking to break out. So Hatfield, if you're playing, or Porter or Allen, you know, take it to him.
Take it to him. Exactly.
But they do have talented receivers. I mean, Darius Rogers is their leading receiver. I believe he has about 153 yards on the season on 13 receptions. And then after that, I think Schuster Smith, their second leading receiver, and then they have Stephen Mitchell and then Deontay Burnett. So, you know, definitely some talent there. And then, you know, if we move over to the defensive side, they're definitely talented. They have, Travis Wilson's favorite target, Cameron Smith. they have the former Ute on their defensive line, Stevie Tuikulapilotu. I probably butchered that, but Stevie T is what we like to call him here.
Yep.
He's a talented guy. I was sad when the Utes lost him. I think he could have had a great season for the Utes this season as well.
Definitely.
But he starts there. And then they have, of course, Adoree Jackson, who's a great talent, great returner, great defensive back. And then some Utah ties. They got a Porter Gustin, who starts there at a outside linebacker, I believe, for them. He's their second leading tackler behind Cameron Smith. So, and he was, you know, Utes recruited him hard.
Yep.
He was talented out of there. I know they also had another local tie, Osa Messina, but he's no longer on the team due to what he's going through right now with his legal issues. But, you know, they have the talent. They have the ability to beat the Utes. So the Utes got to bring their A game to take it to these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, we cannot overlook USC. We've got a game next week at Cal, which is another big one to go on the road and beat Cal. But right now, all the focus is on USC. They've got the talent all across the board. You know, it's just waiting to come out, you know. Juju Smith, just looking at his statistics to start the year. He's only got 11 receptions, 99 yards. Their top receiver, Darius Rogers, 13 receptions, 153 yards. And then their running backs, Justin Davis, 36 carries, 135 yards. Ronald Jones, the second, 23 carries, 117 yards. So they've definitely got some talent. None of those guys, I mean, out of three games, have really had a great game so far. And maybe that's the great defenses that they played against in Stanford and Alabama. But, I mean, Utah's played some, BYU has a pretty good defensive line that, you know, kind of held us in check for the most part. But, you know, we were able to move the ball, you know. But, I mean, none of these guys, looking at their stats right now, really scare you at the moment. But they do have the talent to really, really shine. Sam Darnold, redshirt freshman. So far, he played in the last game there. He has 14 of 22, 136 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. So, you know, I mean, take it for what it's worth. Freshman or redshirt freshman QB coming in. You know, I think that Scally will dial up the pressure and make his debut, you know, a little uneasy for him. You know, put him on some uneven ground for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just got to look at it this way. This USC team's 1-2. People are down on them, and they're going to come in hungry to Rice Eccles. And the Utes they can't start slow. They got to be on top of it for four quarters. Coach Witt will have them ready. This is going to be a big game. This is a big game for the Utes to really show the Pac-12 what they're all about. And I think you're going to see a totally different team offensively and defensively that you've seen throughout the first three games.
Absolutely. I mean, Clay Helton will definitely get his guys, you know, back in shape. I saw a comment tweeted out that when last time we played Clay Helton, he was auditioning for a job. This time when we play Clay Helton, he is auditioning to keep his job. So I kind of got a good laugh out of that, and I apologize. I don't remember who tweeted that out. It was a Ute fan that I follow, but it gave me a good laugh to start the day. So kind of looking at the Pac-12 standings right now, the North, you got Stanford 2-0, Washington 3-0, California or Cal is 2-1, Oregon 2-1, Oregon State 1-1, and Washington State is 1-2. Currently, excuse me, within the conference, only Stanford and USC have played a conference game, and that was obviously versus each other. So Stanford is 1-0 in the conference. USC is 0-1. If we go to the South part, South Division of the Pac-12, USC is currently 1-2. Arizona State 3-0. Utah 3-0. Arizona 2-1. Colorado 2-1, and UCLA 2-1. I mean, you've got to imagine. So USC has already lost one game. You know, if Utah is able to beat them, USC would be 0-2 in conference play. And seems like the magic number is three losses in conference play and you're done. Meaning that USC is going to have to go against Arizona State, Arizona, Colorado, and UCLA and win all of those games. As long as Utah beats them, I mean, that puts them in, you know, a pretty tough trajectory to win that Pac-12 South title. It all but almost pushes them out.
Yeah, I think the South is really wide open this season. If, you know, the Utes definitely should have won the South last season. You know, they definitely lost some heartbreakers there. But the
Gave
South, it seems so wide open. You know, Arizona's struggling. UCLA, you know, they didn't look too great against BYU. Colorado's, they've looked fairly decent throughout their first few games. Arizona State, you know, I know they were struggling a little bit there. USC is kind of struggling. So, I mean, the South's definitely wide open. The Utes just need to put it all together and make a run for it this season. And it's got to start this week with the Trojans.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of looking at some of the statistics here. So USC has 61 points for, 86 points against them. Obviously not good. It shows why the record is 1-2. Arizona State, 144 points for, 96 points against. So they're putting up a lot of points, but they're also giving up quite a few points. Utah, 78 points for, 36 points against. So right now, besides Stanford and Washington, Utah is giving up the least amount of points for their opponents. Arizona, 94 points for, 67 points against. Colorado, 128 points for, 59 points against. So they've been putting up some points, and they've been holding teams back, Colorado. And then UCLA, 83 points for, 66 against. So very interesting so far in the standings, and we'll continue to go through these every week for you. So USC, again, they're 1-2. Coming into Rice-Eccles Stadium Friday night, 7 p.m., Fox Sports 1, blackout game, wear your black. You know, don't be that guy wearing white or red or something. Wear the black. Be a part of it. Come be loud and proud, and let's make Sam Darnold's debut, you know, a little rough for him. I think we've got the fans to do it. I think we'll be loud and wear your warm clothes, because it's going to be, I'm not a meteorologist by any means, but weather reports right now show it's going to be about 50, high 50s and rainy. So dress warm and stay dry.
Yeah. And hopefully the Utes will be able to hang on to the ball.
Yeah.
You know, better than they have been.
Yeah.
With it being hopefully, I hope it doesn't rain hard, but
it's a little concerning with our turnover fumbling issues and going into a rain game.
Yeah, but you know, fans, get there, get loud. Let's get behind these Utes to get some revenge from last season and trek towards that Pac-12 South title and hopefully the championship game this season. So
definitely. Do you have any more breakdown for us, Patrick? I feel like we've kind of exhausted it all.
No, I think that was great. I'm just excited for the game, and you know, it's gonna be a good one, I think.
Definitely. All right, one more time. Rice-Eccles Friday night, 7 p.m. It's on Fox Sports 1. Utah hosting the USC Trojans. Let's lay the hammer down on them. And let's make them 1-3, 0-2 in conference play, and all but ruin their hopes for a Pac-12 South, repeat. We do not want that. So thank you, everybody, for listening to Ute Talk. From our audio engineer, Marty, Patrick, and myself, Andy, we will see you next time. And as always, go Utes!
Go Utes!
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalkPodcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.